Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. What is the Center for Christianity and Scholarship? How does God take a man who likes to find a boat and water during his spare time, who enjoys basketball and tennis, to lead the Christian Study Center at Duke University? This is the story of Dr. Edward Dixon. Like Paul at Athens in Acts 17, Dr. Dixon is engaged with scholars in the Research Triangle of North Carolina. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to share the love of Jesus, that Jesus makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus, so strong that he died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried, yes, but he rose again on the third day, offering God's hope to anyone who would turn to him. And it's our prayer that you would turn to the Lord if you haven't done so. And if you already know the Lord, I believe you're going to be encouraged today. Dr. Edward Dixon is the executive director of the Center for Christianity and Scholarship. He earned his BA in public policy from Duke University and his Master of Arts in Religion from Yale Divinity School and his PhD in New Testament at Emory University. Dr. Dixon, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Danny. It's great to be here.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in the eastern part of North Carolina. Believe it or not, the name of the town is Farmville, for all the farms that surround the community.
What was it like growing up in Farmville?
Well, it wasn't anything strange to me growing up because I knew nothing different from it. I think I began to see what it was like growing up once I moved away and lived in other places. It was a very Christian town. I don't think that I knew any person from another faith outside of a small handful my entire childhood. But on the play level as a kid, we could also ride our bikes all around the town, pretty much without borders. And as I moved to a big city that seemed to have more life and more to offer, I also saw that the childhoods of kids were so much more restricted in big places because of big streets and city life, which we just didn't have in that small town. And so the whole town was our domain, and we really enjoyed it.
Take us a little bit deeper on the inside of yourself, Edward, about perspective on life. How did growing up there compare to what you've seen in big or bigger cities? How did that shape the way you perceive life and others?
That's a really great question. I think that growing up in a town like Farmville was a place where everybody truly knew everyone else, and you couldn't keep life private because we were a small enough place that the whole town would know anything that was going on with anyone. And I think that it established a sense of family connection that was beyond just the family. How many moms in Farmville had a hand in raising me was great. And a number of my friends were, our families were deeply connected, and there was this communal sense of raising one another. And I think that as I look at the wider world and the bigger city life, there is a lot less anonymity in a small town, in good and bad ways, than there is in a big city. And so I think that I hope that makes me value relationships in a way that I might not have come to value if I lived in a big city. I'll also say, though, that ironically, it was tough to find friends just like me that thought about the world in the way that I did. I think I always had a sense of something was bigger than Farmville, even bigger than North Carolina. And I didn't get a chance to exercise that in full until I left. And I think that's just a nature of small towns. But I'm happy to be living just about an hour away from where I grew up. And I take every opportunity I can to go back there because it's a real bit of rest and retreat for me.
Who influenced you most in those early years, Edward?
I think that my peers probably influenced me the most. I think for better or for worse, I was always conscious of how I compared to others. And I think that how they performed in school or on the athletic field always was in my mind and how I compared to that. And thankfully I had good friends who were smart and good friends who were athletic that led me in right directions. And I also had friends who made lots of good behavioral decisions growing up. And for that, I was incredibly thankful because the group of people that I knew from the time that I was old enough to know others at 2 years old till 18, that group was largely unchanged. And so we had our families as a very consistent point in our lives, but also our friendships with one another was a very much a constant for the 18 years that we were raised.
You mentioned you grew up in a Christian town. So your spiritual journey, your relationship with Christ, how did that grow from where you were in Farmville to the vision you had and are carrying out at the Christian Center for Christianity and Scholarship at Duke?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Episcopal Church and went to church for as long as I could remember. I don't ever remember not going to church. And it was just something that we did. And for those reasons, perhaps, it was something that I never thought much about. I think that my faith in Jesus started awakening on a personal level in my ninth grade year of high school. I was on a youth retreat, and they started using language that I had never heard before, language of personal relationship with Jesus. And that caught my ear. Simply, perhaps, I didn't know that Jesus is one with whom I could have relation outside of the Sunday morning church service. And our church growing up didn't really read the Bible or teach the Bible through Sunday school. And it was something that was a book that was still very foreign to me outside of the readings in the church service. And so for the next 4 years, while I would say that I was walking with Jesus, it was through a prayer life and beginning to make some decisions that I think that were distinct from my peers. But it wasn't until college that when I encountered a new group of friends who did weird things called quiet times and devotionals, that I really began to see that the Bible was something to be opened up, to be read, to receive life from. And secondly, that God was just not my comforter, but he was also my Lord, that I had a part to play in that relationship, that it wasn't enough for him just to carry me through hard times, but also for me to, so to speak, dance with him in good times. And that journey really came alive my freshman year in college. And then my junior year of college, I was doing an internship in the summer between my junior and senior year in Washington, D.C., and a good buddy of mine and I were visiting some friends in New York who were doing an internship in New York. And we were driving back on the New Jersey Turnpike on a Sunday evening, and it was pretty late, and my buddy was asleep, and we were in our candy apple red Dodge Dakota pickup truck that we got from the rental car company because we thought that'd be fun to drive to New York. And out from nowhere, a vocational epiphany hit my soul that I've never forgot. And that was in the summer of 1999. And it was these words: to work with students who struggle intellectually with faith in an adventure setting. And those words transformed my vocational journey. I was a public policy major at Duke, as you said at the beginning, and I was planning on going down that route of government and policy. But from that moment, I knew that everything vocationally had changed and that my journey was going to be one at the intersection of faith and academics from that time on. And I began to shift my life around to make decisions based on that call.
You're listening to Dr. Edward Dixon. He did respond to that call, that epiphany. He is now the executive director of the Center for Christianity and Scholarship at Duke University, working with scholars, engaged with scholars in the research triangle of North Carolina. When we come back, you're going to hear how things developed even more. You see, when God speaks, when God makes his will known and we respond, there are things that continue to unfold. There are insights that are received. There are relationships that grow. Dr. Edward Dixon will share more with you heart to heart. Check out ChristianityandScholarship.org. That's where he's at. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
The Center for Christianity and Scholarship at Duke University equips students and faculty to engage the university and the world with Christian understanding. Now, you might find Dr. Edward Dixon around Duke's campus meeting with faculty and students, or leading a class or discussion group for the center. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Yes, Dr. Edward Dixon is with us from North Carolina. You can find out more about the Center for Christianity and Scholarship at Duke, christianityandscholarship.org. Before our break, Dr. Dixon shared an epiphany and how he didn't really go into what he did after, but we want to get into that right now. Again, christianityandscholarship.org. Edward, take us back to that epiphany. Say what you heard again, and then tell us what happened afterwards.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. So the epiphany that I did not audibly hear, but was imprinted on my soul, was to work with students who struggle intellectually with faith in an adventure setting. And I can't remember what happened immediately after that, but I know that I made it back to the rental car company and the story goes on. But where I can remember starting with change was that when I got back to school that fall, I changed my classes around as much as I could and still graduate in 4 years with a public policy major. But I began to take classes to prepare for graduate studies. So classes in foreign languages, because I learned that I would have to do some foreign language work if I wanted to study the New Testament. But I also turned back and I took some classes in science that I had avoided out of fear. When I was in high school, I really went through a season of questioning the existence of God because of some of the science classes that I took in a summer program. And that was so disturbing for me. I wanted nothing to do with science when I got to Duke, but I thought that if I were going to be called to work with students at the intersection of faith and intellect and be able to stand with them and help answer some of their hard questions or ponder hard questions with them, I needed to face some of the fears that I'd had intellectually as a Christian. And so two classes that I took my senior year were biological anthropology and anatomy and human evolution, because those I felt got to the heart of my doubts and my questions, and I wanted to turn and encounter them head on.
So when you took that, when you took those classes, when you, by saying what you did, you're saying a number of things beyond just taking the class, but an engagement with what you heard from God and a touching of your courage to see if you are really willing to face a fear. As you stepped forward, what did you learn about the importance of the intersections of Christian thought and the academic life of the university?
Very good question. I think that's a question that lots of people have been searching for answers to and have been working towards for even longer than I've been alive, in terms of the context of the modern system of higher education in America. I think that then and up till now, I've learned that there are two things. There's need for this type of presence in the university that believes that robust Christian thought that comes from the Christian tradition can contribute to the academic life of the university. And that the experience that I had with a student was there was not a lot of support. And so I do believe that the Lord called me in the direction to take those classes, but I was doing it on an island. I didn't have a faculty support network, for instance, that could come around me that I could process my questions with. So no professors that were Christian that I knew of in biology or chemistry at the time that could be there to support me in the journey. So I think then I learned that there was the need for this type of support. And later I have learned that there is a rich trove of resources out there in terms of people and written materials and audio materials and video materials that can come alongside students as they are asking these questions.
So you stepped out. You stepped up to the challenge on an island. You realized you didn't have the support that you would have hoped to have had. How did God lead you to start the Center for Christianity and Scholarship at Duke?
The center started as a result of a long and winding road that involves more people than just me. I helped start the center in 2013, so 13 years after I graduated from Duke. I was part of the way through my PhD studies at Emory, and I was playing tennis one day, lo and behold, with the son of one of the longtime directors of the study center at the University of Virginia, who had at that time become the executive director of the network of Christian study centers across the United States called the Consortium of Christian Study Centers. And I did not know of the centers at that point in my life, but I knew that I was searching for a place that I could land in that allowed me to exercise both my vibrant faith life and my academic life. And I didn't want to be just a regular university professor. I didn't want to be a traditional campus minister. I didn't want to be a pastor, just because none of those seemed to sufficiently get at that intersection point between faith and academics. But I didn't know what type of place was out there for me until that day when I played tennis with the son of Drew Trotter. And I was telling him about what I was interested in general. And he said, you should meet my dad. And then I began to meet with Drew, and we began to talk about a lot of different things. But one of the things we started talking about was what a study center could look like in North Carolina. And then a year later into those conversations, he called me one day and told me that he got a call from some other guys in Durham who were also interested in starting a study center in the Triangle region of North Carolina. And he put us in touch. And a year later, three members of the founding board founded the center, and a month or so later hired me to be its first staff person.
Edward, who are some of the members of your team that you're working with now, building on those who have put together the structure that you're standing on?
Yeah, that's great. So we started with a board of three, and with me working one half time while I finished my doctoral work. Today, we have a board of 10, and we have a full-time staff of four plus eight part-time college student staff. And so we've grown robustly over the last 10 years. And so the staff currently is staffed with two PhDs, one MDiv degree who's working on his PhD. And then we have a great support manager for our events and communications.
What is the CCS house?
The CCS house is the shortened version of the house that is the home of the Center for Christianity and Scholarship. And we're still looking for a great name for it, by the way. But we call it the CCS house, the Center for Christianity and Scholarship house. We're right across the street from campus. Duke is divided up into two main campuses. One is called East Campus and the other is called West Campus. And we're just across the street from the East Campus where all the freshmen, our first year students at Duke live. And so we get to be right across the street from about 1,700 first year students at Duke to serve as a place of hospitality. We have dinner every Wednesday night. We have study hours until 10 p.m. during the week. We have different types of social activities that are here on occasion. And we do a lot of our courses and reading groups out of the house.
What is the triangle? I've said it. You've said it. Explain to a listener, what is the triangle?
Great question, Danny. So the triangle is three cities in North Carolina, each with a major research institution: Chapel Hill, which has the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Raleigh, which has North Carolina State University, and Durham, which has Duke University. So the triangle refers to that part of North Carolina.
How do you engage the broader public?
We have classes that are primarily focused on students at Duke. We have training seminars that are primarily focused on faculty at Duke, but we also do a regular lecture series throughout the year to which we invite the local public. And we also love to create partnership opportunities with local community members for ministry at the house through meals, through study exam breaks, snack treats, and things of that nature. But in terms of educating the public, it's primarily through our public lecture series and resources that we can, from time to time, put on the website.
You're listening to Dr. Edward Dixon. He is the executive director of the Center for Christianity and Scholarship. Dr. Dixon is a friend, and I deeply admire him and appreciate him and the work that he is doing vigorously and rigorously for the engagement of students and faculty in the Research Triangle in North Carolina. When we come back from our break, we'll talk about forming the mind of Christ and how that relates with the Center for Christianity and Scholarship at Duke University. You can find out more at christianityandscholarship.org. One of the team members is Dr. Catherine Wagner. She's a Harvard PhD. She teaches a short course there on God and evil. We'll talk about that and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house. And at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
All right, so drawing upon multiple Christian traditions, The Center for Christianity and Scholarship seeks to create and sustain a community engaged in discovering what it means to think as Christians about the workings of the physical world, social structures, history, art, philosophy, and other fields of study. The Center for Christianity and Scholarship. The Executive Director, Dr. Edward Dixon, joins us today from North Carolina. You can find out more about the Center for Christianity and Scholarship at christianityandscholarship.org. Look, if you're tuning in right now, maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment, this program is available for you. Just go to drdanny.live. You can listen to the podcast, and I would say share it with a family member or friend. Edward, we talked about your dissertation before. It's always intrigued me how you've delved in so deeply to contribute to scholarship in the New Testament on forming the mind of Christ. Your work in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 11, forming the mind of Christ. How do you relate that with the Center for Christianity and Scholarship?
I think at a very broad level, the work I did in my graduate school days relates to this work because we're after the same thing that I think Paul is after when he was writing to the Corinthians. He was after them thinking in the way that Christ thought about the world, about the communities they existed in, about the human, about the cosmos. And we're after that same thing. What we do on a daily basis is trying to get the students and faculty that are in our communities to have space to explore how Christ thinks about the world and would have his followers think about the world.
You have a course. Dr. Catherine Wagner teaches a course, and I'm wanting to follow up with what you just said, Edward. Her course on God and evil, it's a short course on God and evil. I'm interested in the framework of that in view of other courses like communism, capitalism, and Christian economics, and one that you're teaching, can the New Testament be trusted? When we think about the God and evil short course, what's the general framework in something like that within the broader structure of the engagement that you provide and build out?
Yeah, great question. So right now, the courses that we offer, we call them short courses. They're just 5 or 6 or 7 week long classes that meet at the CCS house where we can talk openly about big questions of life through the lens of faith. And so in the God and Evil short course, as in many of our courses, we give opportunities for students to consider questions around the topic. And so the God and Evil class is addressing a very age-old and common problem that's perceived by people who don't believe or people who believe, and that if God is good, how can bad things happen in the world? If he is good, if he is all-powerful, why does evil exist? And so the class explores the ways that different Christian and even maybe non-Christian thinkers over the centuries have handled and addressed that question, so that we can help these undergraduate students that are taking the class think through some of those very hard questions with some very wise and old thinkers.
You do something else there in the program. I've read about a first year formation group. What is that?
Yeah, this is the first year that we've run the first year formation groups. And so I'll let you know how they go. But over the summer, our staff was talking periodically about what are the common questions that students have about God intellectually when they come into college. What are the ones that they bring with themselves? What are the ones that we know that they will likely encounter once they're here that they may not already know? And so we designed our first year formation groups to go through a series of 15 questions with students during their first semester of college so that we could create a community and an outlet for them to be able to explore those types of questions. And they're some of the questions that you would expect, some of the ones we've already talked about today, some that overlap with our classes, but they're just done at a higher level in the sense of less detailed and faster and just introductory level for the level that first year students are at, so they can have a chance to acclimate to college life and to the new surroundings intellectually that they find themselves.
Could you share a question or two that you ask that you're discussing?
Yes, I can, because the last two that we've asked are mirroring our two short courses for the semester, and we did give them an introduction a couple weeks ago on God and the problem of evil, and last week we gave them an introduction on can the New Testament be trusted. But we'll also deal with questions like Christianity getting called out in current times for being an exclusive faith, sometimes a seemingly unloving faith. We think those are common questions that they may encounter in their college days. And so we wanted to be able to give them space to consider them.
Edward, you're one who is conscientious about tethering both thought decisions and living life tethered to the scriptures, tethered to the word. How do you trace your work at the Center for Christianity and Scholarship? How do you trace your work to a model in the Bible?
Yeah, that's really good. If we read scripture with a particular lens and we read it closely in that way, we see that it has a lot to say about some of our biggest questions in life. We see that it has a lot to say about how we are to look upon the human. We see that it has a lot to say about how we are to look upon society. We see that it has a lot to say about how we are to look upon the universe as a whole. And just as now, so also then, the world of Christianity, the Judeo-Christian world of the first century, was not a worldview that was held in common by all. And so just as Paul at the Areopagus and at other times in his life and other followers of Jesus had to contend for the views that the story of the scriptures of Israel and of Jesus, they had to contend for the views that story told versus the other stories that people in the world believed in. Just as now, we have the Christian story in view of the world, and we have other stories, and those stories collide. They collide in our neighborhoods, they collide in our schools, they collide in our marketplaces. And those collisions don't have to always be unhealthy. There can be something really healthy about collision, but it's really important for us at CCS to be able to train up and educate students and faculty to be able to address some of the big questions that the world asks of them through a robust Christian lens, through the stories of scripture and Christian history and thought.
Hearing you articulate the meaning and the movement and the grounding in the scriptures and what you're doing, Edward, is it makes me feel hopeful. And I think it makes us feel hopeful, like the lamp is not being hidden, the light is not being put away. In fact, the light is shining, the light of God's word, the light of Christ, through the engagement that you and the Center for Christianity and Scholarship embody. You're listening to Dr. Edward Dixon. I love his eloquence. I love his clarity. ChristianityandScholarship.org. That's how you can find out more. When we come back in our final segment, we'll talk about Well, challenges that we face in life, difficult moments. It's not very far from all of us, because we're human beings, and our lives are not always in a straight line, are they? Sometimes it's a curve here and a curve there and a zigzag in one way or another. We certainly need the guidance of the Lord through His Word. And He sends Dr. Edward Dixon to remind us, encourage us today. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No." She began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped, and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Dr. Edward Dixon and the Center for Christianity and Scholarship at Duke University intends to encourage the intellectual discipleship of Christians, both in the university and in the broader community, to engage in respectful dialogue with those who hold their other worldviews and belief systems, to participate in the university's search for knowledge and understanding, and to contribute to the general welfare of society. We've got a bit of a taste, but a sweetness of taste with Dr. Edward Dixon, as he has so well articulated and embodied the mission and heart of the Center for Christianity and Scholarship. Find out more at christianityandscholarship.org. Edward, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
I think I've had enough difficult times that there are a myriad of ways in which I've received help. Our family life had some hard dynamics to it growing up, and I knew Jesus then. And these were referencing back to my high school years as comforter. And I had this cross that I had received, and I remember falling asleep as a teenager at night with that cross clutched in my hand beneath the pillow, because things were difficult at home. And he was my source of comfort in those times. In my college years, when my, I think, trials shifted from emotional difficulties on the home front to intellectual difficulties with belief, he acted in my life with extreme grace. And you'll notice that I didn't really get that push back into the place of my doubt, that push back into the sciences until my senior year. I really felt like he was acting graciously with me by giving me a reprieve for a period of time. And he grew my faith not by addressing my academic questions or intellectual questions. He grew my faith through a lot of great friendships and relationships, and through just meeting him in the stories and pages of scripture. And so he was kind and gracious, because he didn't call me back into the hard place until he had grown me enough to be able to survive and endure the hard place. And then later in life, as an adult, I went through a season of kind of losing my bearing on the goodness of God for a season. And he let me do a lot of yelling at him during that time, and acted perhaps ultimately more graciously to me in that season in ways that have catapulted my faith forward in incredible ways, so much that it's so much more is now about me learning what the Lord does and has done for me, and so much less about what the Lord needs me to do for him in order to be secure in his presence.
Edward, could you say a little bit more about that, being in his presence and even doing less? There just seems to be a light in that, will lighten the load of someone who's overburdened. But there's a light of insight there that you've touched on. Can you say more?
Yeah, sure can. I think until I was probably in my early 30s, I read the Bible for its commands, how I could improve my life. And I had such a little conception, even though I had been following Jesus for a decade and a half or so, if not more at that point. And, but I had a little conception of his grace. I had a lot of conception of his command. I had some conception of his comfort, as I mentioned, but I had very little conception of his grace. And so while I would have confessed the traditional scriptural beliefs of salvation through faith alone, through grace alone, I would say those with words, but I didn't really understand what it meant at a life level. And so then I encountered this phase of my life where I could no longer look to my deeds for my salvation. And I discovered what a life that doesn't depend on the grace of Jesus looks like when we start to fall, and just how fragile my deeds for Jesus are. And when he is not there to catch us, when our deeds start to go awry, we will fall off a great cliff without anything to catch us. And more than that, it was the mistaken belief that I could actually work my way into his grace, work my way into his presence. And it's just chock full in scripture now that I see that there is no way we can get there on our own doing. There is no way that we can get there on our own doing. And I commonly say since then, the best possible place that we can be in our faith life is where Paul ends Romans 7 when he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" And the reason that that's such a powerful statement is because that's the place where Jesus was sent to work. He wasn't sent to work on us in our goodness. He was sent to save us in our wretchedness. And it is the advent of Jesus who then allows Paul to say in the beginnings of Romans 8, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death." And now it's like being adopted into a new family. And if that's a good experience, the kid is probably asked to go around and to see all the good things about the family before he or she is asked to obey certain rules. And we're in a new family. And so much of it is just learning the goodness of this new family and forgetting the bad forms of the old families, proverbial families, that is, that we come from.
You know, when you speak, Edward, it moves me to ask you to pray for our listeners in this fresh place of clarity, as you have described and explained, in whatever they might be facing at this moment. Would you pray for them in application to what you've just described, please?
Sure, I will do that. Dear Lord, you know the struggles and the trials of my heart, of Danny's heart, of the hearts of those who are listening, and of any entity in the world. You have the greatest capacity of responding in grace and comfort and healing, or whether it's failed deeds or whether it's trials and hardships beyond our control. We can hurt for a myriad of reasons, and you've got capacity and ability, and on top of that, desire to meet us in each of those places of trial and hardship. And so we pray for you to work in the lives of listeners and our families and friends, so that we may all know that you are the great healer, that you are the great reconciler, that you are the great peace giver, that you are after us to bring us back into relationship with you, to bring us home into your presence, into the presence of your grace, into the presence of your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Edward, thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing your vital, vital work, your ministry at Duke.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you for loving people so well and being able to ask good questions that draw out the realness of life. And it's great to talk to you today about these things.
Engaging words from Dr. Edward Dixon, ChristianityandScholarship.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't, look, maybe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Would you do that? Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, go to drdanny.live. And I want to thank you in advance. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood up in the meeting in the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, it's always a blessing to be with you." Thank you to Dr. Edward Dixon, ChristianityandScholarship.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.